it's Sunday, April 19th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier, recording today from Jerusalem. Don't miss a single episode. Sign up with your email. Just follow the link in the comments below. Well, there are just 72 hours to go before the two-week ceasefire between the United States and Iran expires. Will a deal be reached in time? I'll be discussing that with Brigadier General Yossi Kupervaser, head of the Jerusalem Institute for Strategy and Security. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first the headlines. An IDF soldier has been killed and nine others wounded after an engineering vehicle struck a Hezbollah-planted explosive in southern Lebanon. Reservist Sergeant First Class Lidor Porat is the 15th soldier to fall in Lebanon this year. He was killed during a routine operation on this, the second day of a 10-day ceasefire with Hezbollah. The IDF is enforcing a buffer zone in southern Lebanon, similar to that in Gaza. Opposition to the ceasefire is growing in northern Israel, and the municipality of Kiryat Shmona is holding a general strike in protest. Schools have reopened across the north after weeks of closures. Meanwhile, Lebanon's President Aoun said over the weekend that his country is entering a new phase and will no longer be an arena for outside wars. After a brief opening, the Strait of Hormuz has effectively closed again, with Tehran threatening to target any vessel that approaches. Iran blames President Trump, who insists that the naval blockade will remain in place until a final deal is reached. As Pakistan works to revive talks ahead of Wednesday's deadline in Islamabad, Iran is digging in, refusing to give up its enriched uranium stockpile or cut support for proxy groups like Hezbollah and the Houthis. In London, an Iran-linked Islamist group is claiming a growing wave of attacks. Harakat Ashab al-Yamin al-Islamiyah says it was behind an attempted arson attack on a synagogue in Finchley last week and has now claimed additional incidents over the past 24 hours. They include an arson attack on a building in Hendon and another targeting the offices of Iran International, a broadcaster critical of Tehran. Overnight, a second synagogue was targeted, with minor fire damage reported. Community security officials say this is the third attack on a Jewish site in the capital in just days. A British counter-terrorism investigation is underway. In Gaza, Hamas has rejected a US-backed disarmament plan, calling it a surrender. It says it will not give up its weapons unless Israel withdraws to pre-1967 lines. In response, billions of dollars in reconstruction funding remain frozen. The IDF continues to enforce a strict buffer zone along the yellow line, blocking movement and opening fire on Hamas terrorists nearby. At the same time, there have been talks between Hamas and Fatah suggesting a possible shift in who might govern the strip. And finally, Israel's construction sector is booming, signalling market confidence that the high-intensity phase of the war may soon be ending. Stocks in major builders have jumped as investors bet the construction crane could soon replace the Iron Dome as the defining feature of Israel's skyline. The government's accelerating major infrastructure projects, from housing units near Jerusalem to developments in the Golan, while reconstruction plans tied to Gaza are also driving demand. Before we get to today's conversation, a quick thank you to our sponsors. Amy and Jonathan Ayres made today's episode possible. And now here's my conversation with Brigadier General Yossi Kupervaser. Do you think the ceasefire with Hezbollah will hold? Because, of course, the group is far from defeated.
Not far from defeated, but it's not defeated. And therefore, they have a good reason to keep the ceasefire. Although much of the tiny details of how this ceasefire is going to be implemented are not totally clear, and there are some disagreements. Israel had no other choice but to agree to the ceasefire. It was under request of the demand from the American president, and we had to accept it. And we have managed to accomplish a lot of achievements during the time of the war against Hezbollah in the last month and a half. We caused them a lot of damage, and we are deployed now in a much more northward positions than those we were in before the war. There's a totally new situation in southern Lebanon now, and with the many displaced Lebanese that are putting pressure on the Lebanese government and on Hezbollah at the same time, our situation is much better than it has been before the war.
Back in 2025, everybody was saying that Hezbollah had been substantially weakened. Clearly it had not. It still has these missiles. It's still able to wage war on Israel.
No, it has been substantially weakened, but this doesn't mean that it doesn't have any capability. They started with 150,000 rockets. They have now something like 10 to 20,000. This is much weaker. They started with the forces deployed along our borders in southern Lebanon. They don't have this deployment anymore. They started with the capability to launch anti-tank missiles towards our communities and towards our soldiers in northern Israel. They don't have this capability anymore. It doesn't mean that they don't have any capability. They still have some capabilities. And what we are trying to accomplish is to disarm Hezbollah. And we understand that in order to do that, we are short of military operations taking all of Lebanon under our control. The only way to do that is to convince the Lebanese government to do what it has to do and to disarm Hezbollah by themselves. And they are not feeling confident enough in order to do that. And what we are trying to do is to weaken Hezbollah day in, day out, so that eventually we should reach a situation where the Lebanese government will feel self-confident enough in order to take the responsibility and do what they need to do. Because at the end of this war, the monopoly of the use of force from Lebanon should rest in the hands of the Lebanese government and not in the hands of Hezbollah. And until now, we haven't reached that, and we are moving in this direction, but it's going to take time. The fact that we managed to convince President Aoun to ask for direct negotiations with Prime Minister Netanyahu is one major step.
72 hours to go before the ceasefire between the United States and Iran expires. What are you looking out for over the next couple of days?
It's very hard to say because we are under the impression that Iran was severely hit and much weakened, and all of that is true. But at the same time, they haven't lost their commitment to stay in, to survive as the regime in Iran. And they are ready to sacrifice whatever is needed in order to make sure that they are not giving up on the main issues, survival, nuclear file, the nuclear program, and the control of the Hormuz Strait. And these are the sticking points of this agreement, and it's going to be difficult to convince them to give it up. Americans are putting a lot of pressure on top of the price they've already charged them by the military strikes together with Israel, and they are now putting economic pressure with the blockade. And we shall see if this is going to be significant enough in order to convince them at least to give up on the nuclear file. I think the most important thing for the Americans and also for Israel is to see the Iranians giving up on the nuclear file. They understand that if they do, it is going to make them look very weak at home. And that's why they are very reluctant to do that. And the Iranians are very smart, and it's difficult to negotiate with them. And I hope the Americans are going to be at least as smart, but nobody can be sure of that.
As expected, Hamas has outright refused to disarm. It calls it a surrender. Is the IDF going to have to go in and finish the job?
I'm afraid eventually there's not going to be any other choice. But if we manage to convince Iran to give up on the nuclear file with all the losses they had, it makes Iran much weaker and much less able to support Hamas. And if we are going to manage to move forward towards disarming Hezbollah, this too is going to have an impact on the ability of Hamas to refuse to disarm. But eventually, I'm not expecting Hamas to be ready to disarm by its own will. And the only power that can disarm Hamas is the IDF. There must be some military move in this direction. We try to postpone it because we are now busy with other things that are more urgent, both the Iranian file and the Hezbollah file. We do not want to see the reconstruction begins before there's a disarmament of Hamas. This is supposed to put pressure on Hamas, but as I said, regarding Hezbollah and Iran, they're ready to sacrifice a lot in order to stay in power and not be disarmed. And for them, we have to understand, for us, it's a mostly very, very important strategic move to see them disarmed. But it's not an existential move. We can live next to undisarmed Hamas. For them, this is an existential issue. For them, for the Iranians, for Hezbollah, they are asked to make existential concessions. It's very difficult to convince anybody to make an existential concession. So that's why it's so difficult to convince Hamas to disarm. One of the measures we have in our toolkit in order to convince them to move in the right direction is the economic pressure and the refusal to start reconstruction and the rehabilitation of the territory. We are putting a lot of pressure on them, but it's very difficult to get enough pressure in order to convince them to disarm.
There are reports that Hamas and Fatah have been meeting today. What do you make of that?
Fatah is so weak that I don't make much of these negotiations between the different factions of the Palestinians. It doesn't really matter. What needs to take place is to see that Hamas is ready to disarm. Who's going to take over after Hamas? We have the Board of Peace, as you said, and I hope they are going to be able to govern together with the technocratic government that was established and waits for Hamas to disarm.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Sign up with your email and get these updates daily. Goodbye.